Hi, I'm Sharon Davis, Chief Executive of Young Enterprise, and welcome to our podcast series, Transforming Futures. I'll be talking with special guests from many walks of life, all of whom have fascinating stories and life experiences and a shared commitment to helping young people build successful futures. We'll explore how the powerful chemistry of support and opportunity have shaped their own lives, getting their individual takes on future skills needed across a range of industry sectors, and what more we can do as a society to help young people to build and apply those skills. Now, my guest today is the brilliant Young Enterprise alumna, Rosanna Collins. Now, Rosanna is the founding director of Tiaki. It's a company that began its course in championing women's breast protection within contact and high impact sports with the Young Enterprise Startup Programme, where Tiaki competed against other startups to eventually represent the UK in the European Startup Company of the Year competition 2023, together with startups from over 40 other countries. There, Tiaki won the title of European Innovation of the Year, and Rosanna was also presented with a leadership award. And encouraged by that early success, Rosanna continues to lead Tiaki through the evolving stages of product development, with the revolutionary Bravo set to redefine standards in women's sports protection. Hello, Rosanna.
Hello, Sharon. How are you?
I am very, very good. It's great to see you again after your victory in Istanbul. It doesn't feel like 6 months ago, does it? It was probably more.
I know. I was thinking about it earlier, actually, and I feel like I was there last week.
Well, it was a phenomenal moment for us all. We were hugely proud. We're going to just jump straight in, if we may. My first question to you is one that we all ask all of our guests at Young Enterprise. Now, we often talk about a chemistry of support and opportunity, having the power to literally transform futures. What does that sentence mean to you personally?
I think the blend of support and opportunity is definitely a game changer. It was for me. So it's definitely allowed me to have a shift in a mindset. So if I hadn't had the opportunity to take part in the startup program, and if I hadn't been surrounded by the abundance of people that wanted to help me, then I definitely don't think I would be owning my own business at 21. And it's just sort of incredible to think that if every child or young person in the UK had access to opportunity and support, like what could be achieved. So I think it's definitely has the potential to be driving force.
And I'm keen, as I'm sure everybody watching this is, to learn more about Tiaki. Tell us a little bit about your journey building the company. Also, we've got to learn, how did you come up with the name?
So Tiaki is Maori for protection. So it is obviously a protective insert, so it sort of works with it. And our sort of initial target market is rugby and the All Blacks are all to do with rugby. So it all sort of links together, really. But also, other than that, it just sounds cool, to be honest.
Brilliant, brilliant. So how did you come up with the concept and to get it to the point of, I mean, I was with you and the team in Istanbul, 40 other countries, and you were crowned you were crowned European Innovation of the Year. So tell us a little bit about that journey, where it started, because you're at Loughborough College, is that right?
Yeah. So to start off with, I was in a module on my degree. It was a business module, and Iqbal, my lecturer at the time, he really loves Young Enterprise. He sort of does a lot to do with Young Enterprise. And so as part of our module, we had to participate in the startup program. And I remember actually my sister, I'm going off on a side note right now, but my sister also did the same degree as me, and she participated in the startup program as well. She's 6 years older than me. And I remember her telling me when I first started my degree about this module that you did in third year. And that was why I chose my degree over another one. Anyway, so we did this module, and Iqbal, our lecturer, sort of said, go away and come up with some ideas. And I'd forgotten to come up with some ideas. And then our lecturer after that, he was like, anybody thought of anything? And everyone was silent. And I just threw a few things out that I hadn't thought of anything. And then I actually sat and thought about it while everyone else was talking. And I thought, actually, my my friends really struggle with this. I really struggle with this. And because I play rugby and my friends play rugby, and actually it's a really big thing. And I thought, why are we protecting our brains and we're not protecting our boobs? It's the same thing. It's a really sensitive part of our body. And then sort of I started looking into it, and then Dylan and Samuel at the time. So Dylan does engineering and Samuel did business. They sort of said, came to me and said, I want to be a part of that. And then through that, over a course of a few months, we came together and we went through the stages of the startup program. So it's the regional, the national, and then we ended up, as you said, doing quite well. And we went to Istanbul and sort of building on that, doing lots of research and lots of product development. And from the way I'm making it sound, it sounds like it was a easy cruising and it was really great, but it was very difficult at times. And I think now one thing that no one really prepares you for is now I'm not looking forward to that competition, or it's not, we've got this, we've won that, we're doing well sort of thing. When you win something, it's okay, I'm doing well, I'm on the right track. But now it's sort of the realities of going to an investor or speaking to a manufacturer, it's real. And I think the startup program really prepares you for that, but you always have that thing of, oh, this competition says I've done good. Whereas now I've recently been having quite a bit of self-doubt, because I'm like, when you have a startup, you don't get anything back from it for ages. So trying to stay motivated with it and think, yeah, I'm doing the right thing, is really difficult. Because
So many questions. So there's a couple of things there. No, not at all. So when I'm listening to you there, I'm thinking about all of those founders out there watching this who will be nodding furiously, talking about the importance of having those intrinsic motivators, the things that kind of get you up in the morning and get you excited. What are they for you right now then in your startup journey? What are the things that kind of keep you going?
It's definitely, as it probably is for anyone who's starting there, is the end result. The thought that my product could be on the market and it could be on the market within the next 2 years, is that drives me. But sort of day to day, it's, so in our meetings for Tiaki, we just set ourselves little goals, and weekly that will be, okay, this week I'm going to learn about the impact of a 40 mile an hour football hitting your breasts, and actually being able to translate that into being a motivator to get me through the next week or whatever it is that by Friday I need to learn what that is. I need to understand it, I need to know it through and through, and that's what gets me through week by week. But essentially the massive motivator, as it is with anyone, is actually seeing my product and people using my product.
And for people watching today, your product, in a nutshell, is?
It's an insert for sports bra for women in contact sports, high impact sports, and essentially protects your boobs.
And currently there isn't anything on the market that does protect your boobs? Because it's made for men, is that right?
There's a few things on the market. They're not quite hit the jackpot, but they're very much better than nothing. Once you've done the research, you realise that they're not, in my opinion, obviously, because I'm creating something else, but they're not as great as they could be. But it's a very niche market. There's probably about 4 products out there.
And I have to say, your passion shines through with this as a founder. I'm just going to go backwards a little bit with the journey. So a big shout out to Iqbal, who is not only a fantastic lecturer, he's also a brilliant volunteer for Young Enterprise and has been for many years. You've got 2 co-founders, Samuel and Dylan. So is it just you now on the journey?
Yeah, so it's just me, and I'm currently in the process of creating a board to help me through it all. I've got quite a good few connections that I've met either through Young Enterprise or through sort of people I know and I've met through the realms of life. That's sort of where I'm at the moment. and getting in contact with manufacturers. So it's getting exciting. That's another thing, is I'm at an exciting point at the moment, because
as it feels like it's a bit of a roller coaster, the journey of a founder, then a startup founder. Have you ever come close to giving up?
Yes, actually. And quite recently as well. And I think
really?
Yeah. I think because, as I said, with a startup, you don't get those little bit of reward. Like, it's inevitable. It's a startup. It's not, oh yeah, we've got this every week. You don't get that. And I actually sat down. I think this is actually a good example of chemistry, of support and opportunity, actually, is a few weeks ago, I sat down to my family and friends and I sort of just said, I can't do this. Like, I do not at all have the capabilities to do this on my own. I'm 21. I know absolutely nothing about anything. And they all sat down with me and actually made me a plan. So the support around me made me a plan. And now they've brought people in to help me with this, that, and the other. And it was, and my friends and my family helped me realize this, is just a case of imposter syndrome. You never think that you're clever enough to do this or this, that, and the other. And actually, with that support that I had around me, I've had a lot of opportunities then to say, no, I can do it. It doesn't matter that I don't know anything. I can learn to know stuff. And so actually now I'm continuing on, and I feel really motivated at the minute. I'm really sort of driving and I'm pushing for a lot of things. I think the next few months are going to be pretty quick and swift. So,
and that energy is definitely coming through in this conversation. So you've clearly moved through something. I'm going to ask you about superpowers. It sounds like you might have a lot, and I'd be interested to know what they were and whether you'd share them.
I briefly mentioned it before when we've been sort of on a few panels together, but I'd say my superpower is the way I think. So I'm dyslexic, so I very much think in a very dyslexic way. And when I was younger, there was very much a hindrance to me, and I saw a lot of people at school really understanding things, and I could not get it. Absolutely could not get it. And then I'd have a tutor after school and she'd just explain it to me in a different way, and I just click. And that different way, I now know, was she'd teach me in an applied setting. So she'd use applied learning. So then I just switched and I understood it straight away. But in my lessons at school, I felt really undervalued because I didn't get it. I thought, education's not for me. I can't do it. I can't do this sum. I can't write a sentence in this way. It just doesn't work. And then actually take me out of that setting and teach it to me in an applied manner, and I actually can. And I think because I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to be able to be taught it in a different way, and especially since I did the startup program in uni, where the whole module was applied learning because it was all with Young Enterprise, that actually I've from that been able to use my dyslexic thinking in my way. And actually now, whilst I'm setting up Tiaki, I think of it in my way. I think of it in a dyslexic way. And that's something that was once a hindrance to me that actually now is my superpower. And I think that's the thing that puts me above other people. So even through Tiaki, it puts me above. It makes me think in a different manner. And I think that will be the one thing that makes me be successful, whether it's with Tiaki or with a different business in the future. I think because I think so outside the box and so differently to other people, that's what puts me above. And I think, so I work as well, have a job. And
you have a full-time job, right?
I've got a full-time job. Mm. and a lot of that is about new product development, and in a very different setting. It's not boobs, it's seafood.
Right. So you're transferring that learning.
Yeah, but in that, the reason I'm good at my job is because I think very differently to other people, and that is completely my dyslexic thinking that I've now learned how to use it, because I was taught in an applied setting and I was given the opportunity to do that. So I now know how to use that. Whereas it can be, being dyslexic is difficult, especially in school, because not everybody's dyslexic, and you it's hard to understand that you don't understand it because that's not the way that you think, and that's not the way that you process things. And actually, if it's just said in a different way, you're no different to anyone.
And if we had some, you know, a young person's 14, 15 watching this interview in a similar situation to where you were at 14, 15, what kind of advice would you kind of give that person who is perhaps at that stage in their life experiencing dyslexia at that point where they're feeling like, you know, they're not feeling particularly successful in learning? Any advice?
Stick with it. It sounds so cliche, but stick with it and you will find a way. So I've now learned, obviously my brain is my superpower. When I was younger, I'd get really frustrated and think this, that and the other. And I was lucky enough, my mum and dad really supported me with that. But you know, you never believe them. And I'm sure if there's anyone out there now, their parents are telling them they're great. But you never believe it. And I think you've just got to stick with it. And just because it's not right doesn't mean it's wrong. So in school, being taught something that you necessarily don't understand and whatever, it doesn't mean that you're stupid because of this, that, and the other. It's not your way, and that's okay. Just because you're different and you don't understand it, and that doesn't mean that anything you do is wrong. And honestly, as you grow up, it will click. There will be one person in your life that just takes you aside or says one thing to you and it just clicks, and then you just sort of get that bit of validation. It will happen. I believe it will happen to everyone everywhere. You just meet one person and they'll change it.
And it sounds like there are different routes to being a successful learner, that, you know, you found a different route, and that might happen. You know, that's, you know, it's not that you can't learn. It's that you just hadn't found that right route for you that worked for you.
Exactly, exactly. And I think the way a lot of schools teach and the curriculum leads schools to be doesn't necessarily leave space for everyone to learn in their way. And just because it's not your way doesn't mean you're any less valid than anyone else.
Just reflecting back on your founder's journey, has any of your friends or families got startups? Or were you inspired by anybody in the public? You know, what's the kind of background to...
I mean, not anything necessarily, but when I was growing up, my mum used to always say to me, sort of, have you got an idea yet? Have you got an idea yet? Because I'd just sprout out random things. Mm-hmm. And I'd come up with random ideas. I don't know, it might be like a toaster that microwaves or something. I don't know, really something stupid. And my mum would just say, oh, not quite yet. That's not quite the one, but you'll get there. And that's sort of something that I've had my whole life. But I don't think there's anyone necessarily around me that's had a startup, but I've definitely got a lot of inspirational people around me, whether that be in sport, in business, in any sort of thing. I've definitely got a lot of inspirational people around me. I've been lucky enough to be surrounded by that. But I don't think necessarily you need to be surrounded by people that like you want to be able to succeed. You don't need to be brought up by entrepreneurs to be an entrepreneur. I don't think that is the case at all.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've gone out and sought the kind of support that you need, rather than having those people already around you. What you've needed, you've gone out and found.
Yeah, definitely. I think I definitely could have turned to a lot of people and sort of have it handed to me, I think, but I didn't necessarily want to do that. I wanted to do it on my own, so I've gone out and gone for it myself, if that makes sense.
We're going to talk a little bit about entrepreneurship and the next generation, if we may. So what do you think, as a country in the UK, we could do to promote entrepreneurship more
to young people as something that's accessible, that could be a viable career to them?
I think a lot of what Young Enterprise is doing in terms of even this podcast, so having young people come on and talk about how their journey they've taken. So I think a lot of the time it's put across to young people that you need to succeed in this and you need to succeed in that. You need to do great in your A-levels, your GCSEs and this, that and the other. And actually, I think there's so many more routes that don't involve exams and mainstream learning that, and I think through Young Enterprise, that's something that is echoed throughout, and just spreading the word more about that. Because if you look at a lot of entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, a lot of them will have struggled in school or weren't given as many opportunities as you see. You automatically think that person's successful, they're really clever, they've got A stars in all of their exams, they've done this. And actually, that's a lot of the time that's not the case. So I think doing a lot of things like podcasts, going in and doing talks and programs that actually are accessible to young people, it doesn't matter what their background is, and just putting the word out there that you can do it and you don't have to be this type of person, and you really are capable of doing anything if you put your mind to it. Like, your mind is your superpower. You don't need somebody else to tell you anything or teach you anything. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. And I think whatever the program is, whatever the podcast is, as long as that's the message that's put across, young people will slowly start to have more and more belief. And if there are young people, whether it's myself or someone else who's young and has started their own business, that can actually spread that and be somebody that young people can relate to, then that will slowly infiltrate to younger people that you don't need to know an entrepreneur to be an entrepreneur. You can start, and you can use people around you, and people always know people that will be able to help you out. I think that's sort of the main thing. Sorry, I rambled a bit there.
Not at all. Just listening to you, that self-belief and confidence just feels like it's been really hard earned over the last few years.
Yeah, I actually, Iqbal, my lecturer who I spoke about earlier, he said a lot of the things for the startup program, you have to have a recommendation for some, if it's an award, so my leadership award, I think Iqbal had to put forward some sort of background thing about me. Mm. And I read through it when he submitted it, and he actually said on it, Rosanna's not always believed in herself and she's this, that and the other. And I always used to, in my parents' evenings at school, my teachers always used to say that to me, is that you don't believe in yourself enough, you don't this, that and the other. And when I was at school, I just was like, oh, whatever, I'm sure you say this to everyone. Then when I saw that Iqbal had put this in my thing, when I was 20 years old and Iqbal had put this in the letter of recommendation for me, and I thought, Maybe I really don't believe in myself. And that from then, I've really tried, and I'm still learning to do it. I'm very much still learning every single day, but I'm trying to learn to switch that mindset of, actually, I can do this. Like, I'm capable of this just as much as anyone else does this. And I think because, like I said earlier, 2 weeks ago, I was saying to everyone, I can't do it, I'm not capable, I'm this, that and the other. So there still are those moments of self-doubt, but I'm really trying to push through that. And it's obviously never been easy for me. And as I say, a lot of that comes from dyslexic thinking used to be a massive hindrance to me. But as I've gone through sort of my applied learning journey, and I've managed to change that and use that, I've now started to learn, actually, I can do it. I just do it differently. And just because I do it differently doesn't mean it's wrong.
Mm. It's hard though, isn't it? Because that negative self-talk is just so constant on your shoulder. But it sounds like you're working really hard to replace that narrative with, actually, here's some examples of where someone has believed in me and maybe I should believe in me. So tell me this then. So what are the one or two takeaways that you would maybe go back to 15-year-old Rosanna and share with her in terms of the 21-year-old's insights?
I think I feel like I'm a record on repeat right now, but your brain really, really is your superpower. Mm. No matter how it works, you'll always find something you're good at. You can succeed, even if it is you're better at Lego than someone else. You can always switch that and create that into your thing and use that as your superpower. And like I just said, I now tell myself that like I'm capable of anything if I put my mind to it. And I think that's one thing that I'd tell my younger self and young people now, that if you put your head onto something, you'll be able to do it. It doesn't matter whether it takes you a day or a year, you'll get there. And if you just keep pushing, it will happen.
That's fascinating, listening to that. And you can really hear it's just wired into your DNA now, isn't it? That way of thinking, which is really interesting. So do you think there are any specific mindsets young people should be exploring to succeed in future career paths? When you're talking about mindset a lot in this, do you think there's anything that young people should really explore or adopt more when looking to build a future?
Yeah, I think it's going to be different for anyone. But I think the main thing, as we've spoken about, is self-belief. But also within that, that doesn't mean you have to go and do it on your own. It doesn't mean you have to do this, that, and the other. Rely on the people around you. I think one of the only reasons that I'm where I am now, 21 and owning a business, is because I've reached out to people that I've met once or seen across the street and asked them for their support. And actually, if they can't directly help you, people always want to help people. And I think having that mindset of believing in yourself, but also using others as much as you can. And one thing that I've taught myself, and sometimes I feel like I do it too much, but oh well, is that actually sometimes I feel like I'm asking somebody a massive favor, really asking them to do this, to talk to me about this or this, that, and the other. And actually 9 times out of 10, people were thrilled to help you. Mm. Because sometimes I feel like I ask loads and loads of questions, but actually I'm asking 5 people one question each. But in my head, I know I'm asking 5 questions. People always want to help out. So self-belief, but self-belief as in believe in yourself and rely on others. And that's what we were speaking about at the beginning. That's the whole point of this podcast, is the chemistry of support and opportunity. If you rely on those people who are supporting you, you will get those opportunities, and opportunities lead to success in my mind.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely. We're nearly at the end of our conversation. I have to ask you, what's next?
I think just keep going. It's so cliche, but I think just keep going, keep learning and striving for the next thing, I think is the main thing for me. Just keep pushing through anything hard. And I've been through a bit of a journey with Tiaki. As we said, it's been a bit of a roller coaster. But I'd really like to, in the next sort of 18 months, be up and running. That might be a bit ambitious, I'm not sure. But a massive part of my success for me personally is actually spreading awareness and educating players on the implications of breast impact in sport.
Because when I'm listening to you, I can't walk past this question, which is, what is the driving force of the thing that stops you from like leaving it alone? Is it the product, or is it the issue that you want to address? So is it the fact that this product really is kind of new to the market and could, you know, respond to the need? Or is it this big issue for women in sport?
Yeah, I think initially it was the product. I was like, I've come up with this sick idea, everyone loves it. And now actually, as I started doing the research into it, and I really understand the science behind it and the implications of impact on breast health, I've actually become really, really passionate about that side of it. And that has almost overtaken the product, if that makes sense. Sort of the social impact side of it is the most important thing for me.
You can hear that.
That's what my driver is once I've got this product, I can go and tell people they need to protect themselves, whether it's with my product or somebody else's. They need to be protecting themselves in sports, and young people need to be protecting themselves before. So this is the whole thing of Tiaki when we were in Young Enterprise, was we are now learning so much about the long-term consequences of head impacts from 10 years ago, and now we're all panicking because people are getting early onset dementia, MND, things like that. And actually, we don't want that to happen with breast health. We don't want to learn in 10 years' time that because I started playing a sport when I was 5, actually now I can't breastfeed my child. And that's the part of it that's really, really important to me, is that we just spread that and people know. And that doesn't mean you can't participate in sport. It means wear this protective gear to help that not happen, so we don't have this realization in 10 years' time.
Well, Rosanna, thank you so much for this conversation. That's it for this episode of Transforming Futures. Thank you so much for talking to me today and being such an amazing role model to young people. I think we can all take away some really powerful insights from this discussion. Thank you very much for joining us, and good luck with Tiaki.
Thank you.
Now, next week, I'll be speaking with Alan Marquard, Executive Vice President, Transfer Solutions at MasterCard, about being your authentic self at work. I'd look out for that podcast, which will be available next week.